Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Can pastors engage in politics from the pulpit? The real question is, should pastors engage in politics from the pulpit? I say yes, it's a duty for them to do so. I'm Matt Barber. Joining me again today is Daryl Edwards, president of Liberty Counsel Action. Daryl, I recently spoke at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to the Majority Conference in Washington, D.C. I was on a panel with two pastors, Pastor Richard Lee and Pastor Tim Throckmorton, and really enjoyed that. Was the subject of our conversation. What can pastors say? What can they do from the pulpit when it comes to politics? First of all, we need to preface this by saying that the idea that addressing moral issues from the pulpit that the left happens to politicize and that they call political issues, that is the secularist attempt to take away what falls under the purview of pastors, and that is cultural issues, moral issues, public policy issues, political issues. They're all one and the same. This notion that they're somehow mutually exclusive is ridiculous. You know, they say you can't legislate morality. That's absolute baloney. That's what legislation is. You do legislate morality. The question is, whose morality or are you going to legislate? And it is incumbent upon pastors, I believe, to address these transcendent moral issues from the pulpit, even if they happen to also be addressed and covered and talked about in the halls of Congress and at the ballot box.
Yeah. One of my first jobs, my first job out of college with Moral Majority with Dr. Jerry Falwell, and that was his strong emphasis that the pastors needed to be out there. They were the ones who were responsible, they led the congregations, and before God, they had a duty, not just a right to speak out, but they had a duty to out for the nation and on behalf of godly principles.
Well, he said that over and over and over again, and he called out pastors. And the Moral Majority is largely credited with having, you know, if not being the major influence, being one of the major influences on the election of Ronald Reagan. And Jerry Falwell, the Moral Majority, and that army of pastors that got involved during that time helped to get Ronald Reagan elected. We need to see that from the pulpit today. You know, the IRS, groups like People for the American Way, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the ACLU, they are absolutely paper tigers. The Constitution is very clear that churches are. Pastor Richard Lee said something during our panel that I really liked. He said, churches aren't tax exempt. Churches are tax immune. And as we've talked about on Faith and Freedom many times, churches are tax exempt by virtue of being churches. There was a decision in, I believe it was 1977, where the Supreme Court said, essentially, churches don't need a letter of tax exemption because they are inherently tax exempt. Because if the state were to tax the church, it would necessarily infringe upon the Establishment Clause. It would be the Free Exercise Clause. It would be the state mingling its business into the business of the church too much, and so that's the law of the land today. So churches, pastors, you can't lose your tax exempt status. I mean, there have been now thousands of pastors who from the pulpit have overtly endorsed candidates. I'm not saying that this is for every pastor to do this. You could get some pushback from the IRS. So far, none have, because the IRS knows that it's an empty threat to say we're going to take your tax-exempt status. You can't. If a church has a letter of tax exemption, they can take that, but that's superfluous. It's meaningless. They are still going to be a tax-exempt for purposes of donations from tithes and offerings, also, and for all purposes. They will remain tax exempt. So pastors need to get involved in these political issues.
And that's true. But a greater point, even if you were to lose it, which you won't, as you said, I think you still have a duty, no matter what. It was during the 19th century, the great revivalist Charles G. Finney, who was strong in the Second Great Awakening, he made this statement, and he talked about the pastors being at the heart of it. He said, if immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours. He's talking about pastors to a great degree. If there's a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible. And he says this, if Satan rules in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it.
Wow, powerful words. A truer today, or at least as true today as they were when he uttered them. But Daryl, you know, there is that part where Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, unless there's a chance you can lose your tax-exempt status, right? I mean, no, I don't think he did say that. Part of being a Christian, a follower of Christ, is to pick up your cross and follow Christ. And he said, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. That may mean, and not may, it will likely mean if you do it right, if you're doing it as I'm commanded, it's going to involve sacrifice. It may involve persecution, varying levels of persecution, depending on where you are. There's a softer persecution in the U.S. There's people being martyred all over the world for Christians, for their faith at the hands of radical Islam and radical humanism. You know, a hundred plus million died under Stalin's humanist regime. But the reality is Christians are the most persecuted group in the world. I'm not just throwing that out there. I mean, that is objectively quantifiable, that Christians are the most persecuted group worldwide, globally. And there's a reason for that. And Jesus said that that would be the case. So pastors, to have, you know, some nasty letter from Barry Lynn at the Americans United for Separation of Church and State with an empty threat saying you're going to lose your tax-exempt status, if that's the worst kind of persecution you're going to face for simply standing up and saying, stand, you know, support this candidate because he's pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage, or to a lesser extent saying support this legislation because it's pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage, if you're going to get some nasty letters and some pushback from perhaps some liberal congregants, you know, in your church, I think that's a pretty small price to pay for obedience to God.
In 1980, Dr. Falwell made this statement on national television. He was challenging pastors. He said, I've been accused of being political. He said, I'm not political. But just because they made these moral issues political does not stop the preachers of God from addressing them. He said, moral issues that become political, I will still fight them.
Daryl, you sent that quote to me, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I've probably quoted that exact quote now a half dozen times in various columns. Again, powerful, powerful words. And it hones in on the fact, as we kind of opened with here, that it's a false construct to say that these are political issues and they're off limits, when the issues at their core are biblical issues, are moral issues, are spiritual issues. All of politics, particularly on issues involving morality, life, sexuality, religious freedom, and so forth, they are all inherently spiritual issues. And just because they've put a political stamp on those issues does not exempt the duty of pastors to speak to those issues.
Yeah, we just have to encourage pastors out there. And if it's something you've been thinking about or praying about, just get out there and don't be afraid to take a stand in your pulpit, in your community.
Well, and if you have any questions, Liberty Counsel has the answers for you. If you want to know specifically what you can do, what you can say, the reality is there is very little, if anything, that a pastor cannot say from the pulpit, even if it pertains to political issues. Get a hold of Liberty Counsel, lc.org. Call us 1-800-671-1776, and we'll provide you the documentation you need, a Patriot's Handbook for Religious Freedom, Patriot's Handbook for Pastors. We've got all the answers you need at lc.org. So again, that's lc.org. We will send you off right away for your pastor. If your pastor may not know, if you see him kind of dancing around the bush a little bit, beating around the bush on these issues, you know he wants to say more, but he's buying the hype that he could lose his tax-exempt status for speaking to these moral issues and political issues. Get a hold of Liberty Counsel, and we'll get the information to you so that you can provide it to your pastor. Again, it's lc.org or 1-800-671-1776. You know, pastors, you are told to shepherd your flock. That means shepherding them. That means guiding them. That means directing them in the truths of Scripture, truths that are just as applicable today as they were when the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Scripture to write those words. Go to lc.org again or call us at 1-800-671-1776.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.